are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
Good morning, Mission Point. So Kondo called me this past week, and he was talking about the various ways in which this could happen, where we could talk about this. And he believed, and I agreed with him, that a conversation could be most meaningful here this morning. And so I get to serve up here and pepper you with questions and hope that because we're on stage, you will answer every single one of them.
We'll see. We'll see about that. Hey, good morning, everyone. It is and so good to see you all. I have missed you. I've missed being in this place. I've looked forward to coming back and just being home with family, and obviously wish that the conversation we're having was a little bit different of a conversation. And man, I want to say, again, a special thanks to you, Rick. Those of you who may not know, man, Rick Neer and I, we have walked through a lot of seasons of ministry together for years. Some of the darkest, most difficult seasons of ministry we've walked through together. Matter of fact, I've said on record that if it was not for Rick Neer and Brad Gutwein, I would have lost my mind and maybe even my faith a couple of times. Rick has served as one of our elders, and more specifically, served as my direct supervisor and caregiver, overseer, and man, did that beautifully. And so, man, I'm thankful. Rick has served in our kids, you and your wife have served in our kids ministry, but Rick has served our student ministry and has journeyed with my teens, who are now one of them in their 20s, through MP students years. So, man, I'm thankful for your willingness to say another yes and help with this conversation.
Absolutely. So, where would you like to start?
I was born in a little town. No, I definitely want to start with gratitude. I want to say a few thank yous. And the first one is to the elders here at Mission Point for their willingness to gift me the sabbatical that I'm just now coming out of. I don't know if, knowing what they know, they would still have gifted it to me, but it was such a beautiful, generous gift from them. I want to thank our staff, who obviously had to carry a little extra in my absence and have continued to serve you all so well. A special shout out to Alicia Meyer and Hudson, who just picked up our worship ministry in a very difficult season and have just ran forward with it. And I'm asking my wife right before this, like, do you have any Kleenex? Because I'm a hot mess, standing under their leadership as they, man, just point us to Jesus through music. I want to say thank you to the different preachers who stood on this stage and served you all over the course of the last 3 months. To Brent Mancarelli and Drew Flam, who not only preached through the series of Matthew, but they helped to actually craft and shape that and schedule it. Thankful for them. And Michael Poorman and Taylor Long, and you, of course, Rick Neer, and Scott Green, who again helped to design the series we're currently in, the Show Up series. Y'all were taken care of, and I'm thankful for that, that group of individuals. Definitely want to say a big thank you to all of you, the church family, for the ways you prayed for us over the course of this sabbatical, the way you sent notes of encouragement. And when I'd run into some of you, it's the beautiful, meaningful expression of your excitement to have me back. That means, man, that means a lot. Even this week, a few of you made a welcome back meal for our staff that we got to enjoy. And I'm really thankful for that. And thankful for this, this stage. You and I both know it is a rare thing that somebody gets to be transplanted or repurposed and they get to talk about it from a stage in front of people. That's a rare gift, and it's one I do not take lightly at all. So just feeling especially grateful.
Before we even talk about, I mean, obviously you've made a massive decision, but before we get to where you're going, let's take a step back and talk about where you've been. Imagine that there's someone here with us this morning that this is their first Sunday. And if it is, I hope you've been, God bless. I hope you have been told where the connection corner is, that we hand out free Bibles. But if they've never met you, take us back to the beginning.
Yeah. My name is Kondo of an undisclosed age. I'll go back 15 years. 15 years ago, my wife and I, who will be celebrating 26 years this week, shout out to her for that incredible feat. But 15 years ago, we're in a similar situation, just sensing a restlessness, like God was inviting us to a different season of life and ministry with a lot of unknowns. And so during that time, we, I think, assumed, man, we are going to go out west, like to Colorado, and live near mountains and live near family. And those plans were quickly interrupted as, God made very clear that he wanted us to be a part of a movement here in Kay County that would obsess with the question, if Jesus were here physically, where would he be hanging out? And with whom? And what would he be doing? Because that's where we want to be, and that's what we want to do. And Mission Point was born. This movement of people who tried to find any excuse they could to go into the messiest places where darkness and brokenness were having their way. And it has been an incredible journey, as so many of you bought into that mission of showing and sharing Jesus and stepping into the messy places, where for us, the dream was that we wouldn't measure success by how many people sat in this room, but how many of those people walked out of this place into the mission field and used the unique gifts to make a difference in the brokenness. And we came out the gates swinging. Doing some crazy, unconventional, out-of-the-box things. I mean, some of you will remember because you were here, Mission Point Cab Company. One of the first things we did was we went and drove inebriated people home with no judgment. It was one of the first things we did. We renovated a dilapidated home in a mobile home neighborhood so that our mission director could live with the friends that we longed to serve alongside of. We got to launch even a home decor store that was open like every other weekend or something like that. And the funds from that went to send kids in Zambia to school and built a church in Haiti. And we bought bicycles for people outside, our continent so that they could carry the gospel further. But in our community, we just did some of the most unconventional things. And truth of the matter is, people kind of thought we were crazy. And I think we kind of liked it, you know, as we said yes to whatever we sensed Jesus was calling us to do and wherever we believed Jesus would be. And generosity reigned in this church family. Especially as we latched onto the plight of the vulnerable child and we started to ask, how can we open our hearts? How can we open our home to make a difference in the stories of vulnerable kids? And so, foster care, we're like, we want to pillage the foster care system. We want to be part of the stories of adoption. We want to be part of what it looks like to stop the need for adoption. We want to be in all of it, which is, if you're newer, you may step into our kids' wing, and if somebody said, can you guess which color kid goes with which family, you would fail. I mean, it's just this beautiful journey that we have, we've been on. So, it's been a ride. In fact, let me say this. I get to go and stand on stages around the country at conferences, and I am asked to go to those conferences because of y'all. Mission Point suddenly, you may not know this, but in our nation has a reputation for doing unconventional things to push back the darkness and to step into the stories of the most vulnerable. And so people are like, can you come and tell us about it? And so I've been privileged to represent all of you and the craziness that we've been invited into. Even this week, I'm going to be on a podcast, and that's the question about how, you know, churches step into stories of vulnerable folks. And so I'm just humbled by the fact that, man, this thing that was a dream 15 years ago is fully alive, and I am convinced the best days are still ahead. So, man, thanks for asking that question. You knew I'd go off on that a little bit because of what God has done in and through this body of believers.
Well, the mission is still alive and well. So before we talk about how you got to this point, maybe in your own words, tell us, what is the decision?
Yeah, the decision that we as a family have made is to step out of my role on staff at Mission Point, to step out of my known role on staff at Mission Point, and to step into an unknown role outside the walls of this church. And so I have no idea what that role is. I am not leaving Mission Point for another job. I don't have one. I'm not leaving Mission Point to go and do something that, you know, we've kind of been working on or planning. We really have no idea what's next. It feels like it did 15 years ago.
And I think that's a point that we should re-emphasize. You're saying you have no idea what's going to happen next. You have no idea where God is leading you next.
I have no idea where a paycheck will come from. I suspect, Rick, and I suspect that whatever it is, that it will involve me using my voice to address the plight of the most vulnerable populations. I cannot believe the gospel and not lean further into that in light of how God has created and gifted me. I know it's going to involve vulnerable populations and asking the same question, what do I believe Jesus would be doing and what would he be saying in broken spaces. I suspect that it might involve, you know, the sports world. I've had the privilege of being involved in different sporting contexts, from tennis to Major League Soccer to, you know, Wrexham, the boys from, you know, Wales to World Games. God has been so gracious to open these doors, and I suspect that I will probably stay involved, as I have for 15 years, in the place where my passion and the mission intersect, where brokenness lives. I want to be somewhere in there, but because I don't think I can't be. But if you say, what does that mean or what does that look like other than what you've done for the last 15 years, I don't know. If you ask me, like, how are you going to provide for your family, like, I don't know the answer to that question.
I'm glad you brought up the sports world. Go ahead and talk to us, because a lot of us are seeing on social media, Kondo Speaks, Kondo TV, there are these different accounts that are on social media channels. What is that all about?
Are you following those accounts?
I'm following both of them.
Okay, good.
Faithfully.
Then I will answer your question. No, I'm kidding. That's a great question. And like I said, I do not take for granted that for the past 15 years, God has allowed me to live the thing that we talk about at Mission Point. What does ministry look like outside the walls of the church? What does ministry look like in the places maybe where a gospel presence doesn't typically exist? I have loved being in those places. I have loved people like, wait, you're a pastor? What's that? You know, because the tennis world works on weekends. You know, no one tell me anything if you are watching Carlos Alcaraz and Yannick Sinner. But like, they work on Sundays, on weekends, right? Like, and so it's been such a privilege to step into some of those spaces. It's been a privilege, like I said, to represent Mission Point and what God has been doing in conferences around the country. That's been such a joy. You know, I've mentioned my wife has been gracious to let me do a lot of those things, because it's not just oftentimes outside the walls of Mission Point when it comes to my sporting ministry and work and that I enjoy, but it's also been outside of our home. And so my wife has been gracious to allow me to do that on my vacation time. So if you've ever seen me do anything, sports or tennis, that is on my vacation time. Now, my wife does have a vested interest in that. Like before Michael came on the scene and in the last couple of years introduced things like health insurance, and you know, my wife would ask the question, what are we going to do for our retirement? Like, what are we have seven human beings in our family. Like, so it also allowed me outside the walls of this church to provide for my family, which I'm grateful, not in a way that's sustainable, but in a way that helps a little bit. So Condo Speaks and Condo TV, if you will, is just the fancy, cute way of referring to the places where I get to use my voice outside the walls of this church. So anything outside of Mission Point was just Condo Speaks and Condo TV. It's just fancy ways of using language to capture the mission outside the walls of the church. It's been true for 15 years. Maybe not as social media savvy, but it's been one of the privileges I've had for the last, decade and a half.
And people are watching, and that's a good thing. And I think people are watching you now, which makes this next question probably very practically important for a lot of us, maybe all of us, because we all find ourselves in situations where we are trying to discern God's will. What does God want for me next? So how did you know that you were supposed to make this move? Was it a message, a voice from the sky, a specific verse, just an inner sense? What was it? How did you know?
Yeah, it was a combination of things. And sadly, most of those things were painful. Like, I would say, thanks to the sabbatical, it allowed me to take time to pull back and be introspective and, man, cross-examine our life and talk about calling. And so, but I think, honestly, that I've had these stirrings for quite a while, and I have just ignored them, pushed them down. Because number one, I have believed and desired to grow old here at Mission Point. I would have been convinced I would get raptured with all of y'all. And so the thought of even looking at something that may beg the question, that may move me away from this family that has become home, and I just think part of it was I don't want to think about it. I don't want to interact with it. I don't want to engage it. But I think there have been stirrings probably for a while. But then Sunday's coming, and we have more things to do. And then the next thing, and I didn't mind staying busy. I like busy, and busy gives me an excuse to feel productive, but not maybe ask some of the questions that were stirring. And then I just humbled myself before the Lord because of my spiritual maturity. That is not true, Rick. The Lord literally, I would say, allowed my body to just crash. Last fall, my body fell apart. I hit a wall. I would sit up here in excruciating pain, you know. It was so bad. I didn't tell my wife about it because I didn't want her to worry and, you know, kept it to myself. And it was so to the point where I believed and I was looking forward to the sabbatical. Remind me where I was, because I'm going to take a slight detour. Because some of you have said to me, somebody just said to me in the bathroom between services, this thing again. But a number of you have said, we had this sense that you would leave for the sabbatical and you would not come back. We just knew it. And I'm like, I want to talk to all of you who had that sense. Because first of all, I want to know, like, what else do you know? Like, if you knew this, like, do you know what's next? Come talk to your boy. Like, I will, all of you seers, please let us know. But it was very interesting that during that season, nothing in me, and we can talk about this a little bit, you know, wanted to investigate further what the stirring was. Man, I hit a wall physically and started to ask some, you know, some questions during the sabbatical. But going into the sabbatical, truly, I thought the Lord would give me a sabbatical and I may not come back from it because I will be fighting a terminal sickness. That's how bad it was for me physically. I was terrified. I shared bits and pieces as we talked about rest. So that is the thing that stopped me in my tracks, and I knew I have to look at something, you know. Man, I remember a meeting with my friend Joe Graham, who's sitting in the back, and you know, we're sitting at a restaurant, we're eating some sushi, overlooking the lake, you know, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And he's like, you need to try this. Have you checked this? Have you done this? And we did hospital, and we did scans, and we did everything to try and figure it out. So that was a thing, I think, that got my attention. But then, yeah, just started to explore, like, where is God working most? Because wherever the Spirit seems to be moving, that's where I want to be. Where does that lead? You know, we sat down with people that we know and love and trust, and they spoke into what they were seeing and what they were sensing. Man, a small group was a part of that. They're all sitting in here, and we've journeyed together for 20-plus years. In fact, 15 years ago when we were in the same place, they were there, and we're like, we're going to Colorado. They're like, no, you're not. We don't get a good feeling or sense about this. But when they kind of even spoke into this decision, there was this sense of like, it does seem like it's time. You know, wrestling with the elders was another layer of confirmation, you know. We were like, okay, how can we make this work though? Because I want to stay, and so can we figure out a way to make this work? And like, we're all trying to make it work, and no matter what we tried, we just kept running into like turmoil, and we just couldn't land. And like, well, okay, how about if we do this and maybe adjust this, and maybe that could work? And we just, there was no peace until we're like, I think I need to step into the next season. And all of a sudden, there was this peace among the elders. I'm not saying they were fist pumping. I hope they weren't, but it was the time when our whole elder team were like, yep, this is the thing around which we have the most peace. And then ultimately, obviously, I'm saying to my wife is saying to me, like, we're taking this step. We have no idea how we're going to feed our family. Are you okay with this? Yes. Right? My wife is a linear. She's the person who thinks logically in our family. She's the brains of the operation, typically has the plan. And so for her to be like, no plan, no problem, there was just a sense of peace. So it was a variety of different things.
Let's talk in detail then. How soon is this happening?
Yeah, quite soon. I think the plan is for me to preach next week, if I'm allowed that, and then the 27th, I will be here, and I believe there's some kind of a celebration on that day, the 27th, which would be my final day. And we have wrestled, even as elders, like, you know, should we take the long approach to sensing this is what God is doing? Should we be like, great, let's do it in 6 months, or let's do it in a year? And I think for all of us, it was just the peace around, you know, thinking about what's best for our church family, what's best for what seems to be stirring. And yeah, so pretty short order. The 27th is my last day.
So can I play devil's advocate here for a moment?
If you promise not to enjoy it, sure.
It surely has not gone unnoticed that the last several months at Mission Point have been challenging, very challenging for the staff and the congregation. So is now really the best time to be making a transition at this point?
Yes. Now is the absolute best time, but now is not a good time. And those two things we hold in tension. Man, it's interesting, and I know there's some levity to what I'm about to say in light of the question you're asking, but there are legitimately people in this room who believe that LeBron James is the basketball GOAT. Right, right. Absolute crazy. But a part of that to me is very much like the nowist culture. It's like it's who we've watched, and we've watched LeBron. And like clearly you did not watch Michael Jordan play in his prime doing damage to the league, because if you had, you would know. LeBron doesn't even come close to Kobe, but that's beside the point. I think the same happens in a church. Like, it's tempting to say, man, this is the most difficult thing our church has ever been through and will ever go through. But you and I, we've walked through some dark seasons. And we know this is not the most challenging season our church has walked through. And it will not be the last challenging season our church has walked through. And if we're not careful, we will even be tempted to memorialize and to glorify the difficulty. And if we're not careful, Rick, don't get me preaching, but we will start to exist to survive hard seasons, as opposed to, no, we exist to show and share the love of Jesus. We exist to kick the enemy's rear end. We exist to push back the darkness, right? And the hard seasons, I think, actually give us opportunity to answer the question, do you believe it still? Is this still the priority? Is a priority still to say yes to what he's calling you to, even when things are most challenging? And so if you ask me, is this a good time? No. Is this the right time? Yes. Because part of my problem, Rick, was there's never a good time. And if you're in leadership, you know there is never a good time. Now I'm talking to all of you who may be sensing a stirring from the Spirit of God to do something. And everything in you, like me, says, but this is not a good time. So maybe when the kids are a little older, we'll start doing date night, right? Or maybe when we have a little more in our account, we'll start being generous and we'll start giving, right? Like maybe when people seem a little friendly and the political climate, then we'll start talking about Jesus in the marketplace. And we just keep postponing and procrastinating. And so for me, there is an awareness like, man, it's not a good time, but there is never going to be a good time. Sabbatical is an example. Like, we've been talking about the sabbatical for a long time. But it's like, then something happens. Like, ooh, now it's not good. Let's bump it off. Ooh, now is not good. Let's bump it off. Now is not good. Let's, and my wife said, we are not bumping this off again, right? And so I think I love that the elders are leaning into the fact that, man, if the Lord is stirring, then now is always the best time to say yes, as opposed to the belief that, but if we do it for 6 months, then we can be guaranteed nothing challenging will be happening. There'll always be challenging things happening in the church. And Mission Point is going to get through this. Mission Point is going to continue to thrive in the calling and the mission that he has given it. And the enemy will continue to throw what he wants and will continue to persist. Of that, I have no doubt.
Well, I'm glad you bring up the church side of things. What concerns do you have for Mission Point going forward?
Yeah, I think if I have concerns, I mean, one concern would be that I will make this announcement and people will be like, thank goodness, it's about time, right? Like that's obviously a concern. But the bigger concern is the opposite of that. The bigger concern for me is that after 15 years, we would become typical. Like after 15 years, it concerns me that somebody may make this movement about one person or one family. It concerns me that we might do what is oftentimes a temptation to do, to mistake an individual for the mission and the movement, to mistake an individual for, man, what Jesus himself, the King of the church, is doing, and to say, man, we say we believe we exist to show and share the love of Jesus, but we really exist to hear the way that person talks about sharing and showing the love of Jesus. So my concern, if anything else, is that people would make decisions based on one person and make it about something it's not. I'm optimistic that won't happen, but if there's a concern, that would be a big one.
So was any part of this part of the bigger plan when the sabbatical started?
No. All I knew was I was weary. And not because we're going through challenging seasons. Like I said, as a leader in the church, I expect that we are going to go through difficult seasons. But there was a weariness that was just beyond that, that I could not put my finger on. And so I believed at the beginning of the sabbatical, man, I'm thankful I get a little bit of a breather on the bench, and then we're back in the game. And maybe we'll do things a little bit differently, because I don't want to get to this place once I got cleared health-wise. I did not want to get back to that place. So we started trying to think about how we can maybe mitigate some of that coming back, but this was not the plan.
All right. What will the next 3 weeks look like?
Man, if I have my way, I will spend the next 3 weeks preparing to share it next week. But man, to sit with as many people as possible and dream about where Jesus is taking this church and new and incredible ways in which we can push back darkness and serve the most vulnerable. If somebody thinks like because you are sensing this shift, you no longer have dreams and vision for this church, like they're going to have to block my number. Like this week I've just had a fresh sense of what could be and what the Lord might be doing. And I think if I get to share some of those and raise my voice in those regards, I'd love to spend the next 3 weeks dreaming.
And then the morning of July 28th hits. Are we finding you applying for jobs? Are you wanting, connections? And, are you going to be looking at LinkedIn or Indeed for openings?
I have no idea. I mean, and I don't even mean, the answer to that is no. On the 28th, yes, I will be unemployed, but there's no sense for me if somebody said, what is your dream job that you would apply for? I don't even know what that would be. What I do sense, though, is that, man, we are in the same place we were 15 years ago. And, as my wife and I process, we would probably take the opportunity to move and live somewhere closer to my family. I've never been able to do that, not since I was 19. And so my mom lives in Austin. My sisters live in Austin. Warm weather lives in Austin. And so for me, I think if there's an opportunity for my kids to grow up near their grandmother and near their aunts, I would love that because I have no idea. So it's not like there is anything. So we start to make decisions about like, man, I'd love to live near family. Now, if my mom lived in Antarctica, would I make the same decision? I don't know, but I probably would not. But yeah, so I think we are at least exploring that as a high likelihood.
And I'm glad you mentioned your kids in that answer. How are they handling the news? Do they check their email? Do they already know? How are they doing?
Man, our little girls, We told them last Sunday after the outdoor service. They had not the faintest idea. They did not take it well. Like, they are, man, they struggled with it. If you've been around Mission Point, you've seen them. They love this church. They would remind us, like, we are serving this week with Miss Jen, you know. They would come home and be like, Mr. Rick talked about Jesus and putting on pants. You know, they love being here and learning from, you know, John Green, you know. For 3 weeks, one of my daughters, John Green, and finally, like, Scott Green. Like, so she's got it now. They had a really tough time. This church has raised them. They've grown up here. They love being here. Right now, they're with Miss Jen serving in the kids' wing. I think they were in the first service. So they're having a hard time. Not about their school possibilities. Not about, like, friends. They are struggling with Mission Point. They love being a part of it. Our older kids. So I could tell them I'm being deployed to Mars, and they'll be like, can you send money from there, right? So I think they're doing their thing. They're very supportive, but there's a little more independence there.
What did you anticipate the response of the church being?
Ooh, I anticipated it being varied. I thought there would be support. I thought there would be excitement, especially from some of the OGs who are like, you've been saying this about the rest of us. Now it's your turn. You are doing the thing that you have said you believe Jesus may do to all of us. And so, but I also think there'll be sadness. I anticipate that there'll be confusion, surprise, maybe even anger or a sense of betrayal. I think I expected the span of emotions and responses.
Well, let's drill down into that. Which responses do you dread the most? And I guess secondly, what do you hope the most for our church?
I would say, I don't know, probably if I dread a response the most, it is probably two extremes. One, like I said, being like, yes, you know, get him out of here. The other one would be, anyone who would say, probably actually suspicion. Is probably a dread. Like, you know, the thing in the church where it's like, what aren't you telling us? You know, like, there's something more happening here, you know, and almost to the point where that becomes the narrative and everyone sits around and they're trying to, you know, like, we appreciate what you said, but what's really happening? And then I think that to me has a way of just stirring confusion and maybe even keeps us stuck instead of eyes forward to move ahead into the mission. What I would hope most would be that people would feel everything that they're feeling. And at the end of it all, investigate why am I feeling this way? And man, how do I bring this to Jesus and align it with who he is and the mission that he's calling us to? The ideal response to me would be that people would sit around and ask the question, okay, we're talking about condo, great. What about me? Right? Like, Lord, what are you doing in me? Like, what are you stirring in me? Is there anything I'm not looking at? I hope that I will be maybe an encouragement and a cautionary tale all in one.
So I guess just one follow-up to there. You mentioned some negative emotions, feelings of anger or bitterness, maybe being depressed or even feeling abandoned or betrayed. Is it okay to have those feelings? And I guess, would you offer any sort of encouragement how we move past those feelings?
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of feel your feelings and follow your feelings and let the feelings lead you to, man, why? Like, if somebody is angry, why? if somebody feels betrayed, why? You know, what did you feel Kondo owed you that he now has just like bailed on his promise? You know, if somebody feels overly excited, why? And that I can understand a little bit better because we are going to go over. It's part of what, you know, my presence here. People like, I get to lunch on time, you know, when he's not around. But yeah, I, to me, so strongly endorse and encourage people to feel everything that they're feeling, but don't live in the feeling or let the feeling ultimately dictate the decisions you make. Those feelings to me still need to come and be yielded to who is Jesus, what has Jesus said, what is he doing in his church, and what decisions will we make after those feelings have kind of settled some.
Kondo, I think I'm very appreciative for this opportunity to have a conversation with you. I think it's great that you're taking the time to share all of these details with us because people are curious, and I believe we've answered a lot of questions. And to their chagrin, based on the time, I'm going to just leave this last question really open-ended and just ask any final words.
Yeah, turn with me. No, I would say some of, I hope through the course of the week, maybe I'll have more words next week. But the two things I would say for sure, number one is honor the stairs. And again, you mean stairs that you climb? You mean stairs as in people who stare? No, I mean the people who are staying. It is crazy how often the church will celebrate the people who are leaving. And they'll, you know, make a big deal of the people who are taking their next steps. And they'll forget the folks who are here, you know, in the trenches and serving well. And I can't say strongly enough, if it were up to me, the 27th would be our whole staff being celebrated for what they're doing, what they're walking through, how they're staying. And I may pitch for that, right? And I would just say strongly, pray for, support, encourage. And when there's suspicion, by the way, it turns to the people who stay. You know, you've walked through some of the like, so this person left, Kondo, what did you do? This person left, what did you do? This person left, what did you do? You know, and so I can't say strongly enough to honor those who are staying. And then I can't say strongly enough to lean in. I think our community will be asking the question and the kingdom of darkness will be asking the question, was it really about Jesus and his mission or was it about some person? And I would say lean into the mission and lean into the mission of Jesus. In as much as you believe the mission of Jesus, right? And not to make decisions in any way that validate what is typical. We've never been a typical church. Even this, man, like, wait, so you guys are going to launch your one of your pastors into an unknown? It's like, it's what we do. We say it for everybody else. It's what we do. It's what we've always done. And Rick, I wish I could tell you that it won't be your turn next week, but we don't know, you know. And so lean in to whatever the Lord is doing and what he may be doing in you.
I know I speak for everyone when I say that your leadership has left a big impact on those of us who have gotten to experience it, and it's probably not been felt anywhere else more keenly than as you teach. And so one last detailed question. It's leaving a gap. Who is going to be filling that role?
Yeah, it is not leaving a gap. Our team has spoken to Scott Green, and Scott Green has agreed to step in to overseeing our preaching ministry and who's preaching, and he'll be doing quite a bit of the preaching, at least for the next 6 months. And I cannot say thank you enough to my brother. I don't know if he's sitting. He's sitting back here. You can wave a little higher than that, man. Y'all, the best is yet to come. I'm a little salty about that, but I believe it deeply. And I'm grateful to my brother Scott and our staff and the elders and the folks who will continue to ensure that the mission moves forward.
That's awesome. We're going to transition to communion here in a second, but I'm going to go ahead and pray for you and for us. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity, for this place where we can be in your presence. We are so thankful that we serve you, that the mission has always been about you, and that the mission has always been the point. And so I pray that as we go through the coming weeks, that you would be very close to us. Help us to answer the questions that we don't have the answers to. Be a very close presence to us. And we pray both for Kondo and his family and for our church that, as always, God, may we be following you. May your will be our pleasure, and may we know nothing more than living for you. Jesus, it's all about you. It's always been about you. And so it's in your name that we pray these things. Amen.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at 1 Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.